If I could ever be the quality of man my father was, I would be a lot further along to being what God needs in the kingdom. Most of you know I usually call him my skinny brother. You know, I'm the chin and he's the thin. If you know George, he's always been skinny. And he reminds me a lot of my father in one specific area, and that is, remember, behold an Israelite in whom is no guile. You know, some people don't know how to pull punches. They just tell you the way it is. And we know we need to be wise and all, so we will try to do that this evening, but we're into an area this evening when our beliefs need to fit carefully with reality, the facts that exist. And our topic is, if you looked at that sequence, and we're going to do it that way. I was given the liberty to even mix them up so you wouldn't know what was coming, but I figured that wouldn't be fair. We want to look for a while together this evening at how our beliefs about man determine the rewards or consequences we will get in this life and in the next one. You see, we looked last time at grace, and we spent most of the time in general ideas how that works. We get down to things that truly make a difference in everyday life with this one. But we first, as we mentioned last night, we want to keep some simple ideas, some principles in front of us when we look at it. Number one, again, we remember that you don't have to, nor do I, believe the truth. I may firmly believe something and it not be the truth. I may firmly believe it. Belief has no power to change the truth. It doesn't. Does it work on your income tax? You run all the figures, you get to the end of the form and it says this is what you owe, and you say to yourself, that can't be right. That number, at least the decimal place is in the wrong. Somebody got it too far to the right. I don't know what's wrong with this number. And you know, if you write a check to the IRS having moved the decimal point one to the left, did you know they're not amused? And they don't care what you believe. Your belief does not even have the power to move a decimal point. It doesn't. Does it work with your bank account? I believe there's 10,000, and the cashier says, no, it's only 1,000. You know what she's looking at? Reality. It's right there on the screen in front of her. It's reality. We have beliefs, and they don't have to be the truth. One of the reasons we are to examine ourselves carefully, like in that context of 1 Corinthians 11, we know it's about the Lord's Supper, but it's a general principle. We constantly need to be checking that our view of things fits with the reality that exists, because you and I both know we can believe things that are not true. The second thing we constantly want to keep in front of our mind, maybe every time we open the Bible, is this. I am reading a book that is made to change my life, and my beliefs will determine my behaviors. If there's something, a behavior, that we fight in our life, maybe the devil has too good of a handle on me in one area. See, it doesn't have to be physical. It can just be something that happens in my mind. And I find that he just has too much power to keep me in that thing. You realize you can try to burn that thing. You can try to beat it out of yourself. You can try to be severe to the body. And Paul tried to tell us again, severity to the body has no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Has no value. Now, no is a huge word. It's powerless in that area. If we have something that we do that we know we need to stop, you have to get all the way back into the mind to the belief base, because behaviors are always decided by beliefs. So it actually really matters how we look at this book. It matters. Are you a casual reader of the Bible? If you didn't know Brother Lester Fisher, who preached down in Newman in the valley for years and years, he was already old when we met him. He was always old. You know how Melchizedek was a priest forever? You know, all the time I knew Brother Fisher, he was old. He was just older, you know. But, you know, he had been around long enough to watch things, and he had some really good principles, and I disagree with one of them. But more and more, I'm starting to think he might have been right. Oh, what if the reality was what he said? And what he said was this: never just read your Bible. See, now for years I have disagreed with that. I thought, no, I want to get the wording in my mind. Because before my mind gets so old, stuff doesn't stick in their very word. I want to get it all in there so I can operate from in my mind. And I don't, what if I lose my eyesight and I lose my hearing? I still want to be able to learn. So, and he said, no, he said, I stopped just reading my Bible. He said, I have to keep myself in the picture when I read. You know, I'm starting to think he might have been older and wiser. Oh, he was. You see, when we read God's word and we realize there is a reality that exists and I'm part of it, and I need, there are going to be things in our life that we have to change. And it has to start with a change in belief. Because you see, sometimes we say, well, no, I believe the truth that it's wrong. But we hold some idea underneath it like this. We really, if we are forced to raise our right hand and testify from the middle of our mind, we sometimes think, well, maybe it's not that big of a deal. You see, it's a belief I hold. And it might have me take a plain statement of God and not hold solidly to it. And that grace of God from last night, sometimes we want to stretch it over everything. And God just doesn't let it stretch. If it's going to cover a good heart, it will be God who did it. One of the most interesting things that we cannot look at for the sake of time tonight is consider the sins of great men and women in the Old Testament and ask yourself this question. Did God allow them to remain his faithful child because it was not sin they committed, or did his mercy allow him to overlook it because he knew the blood of Jesus would be shed on the cross? Does the wording already lead you to what I think the Bible probably says? You know, sin is sin. It is. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And I might believe it's okay, but if I believe what doesn't fit with reality, it's bad. Number three, you remember that if here's reality, and I hold another idea that doesn't fit with reality, and people give me, I get input to show that what I believe doesn't fit with reality, and I refuse to change and I hold on to it, you realize that's called delusion. And as we mentioned last night, I don't know anyone who takes "you're delusional" as a compliment. Usually in the Old West, those would be fighting words. That's like calling the guy a liar. You're delusional. That's not a compliment. When we have a belief base and we find anything in God's word, and what if it comes from your talking to someone in some religion that is not found in the Bible, and they make a statement and we realize it's right and we never noticed it before? You know, it's not true because they presented it. It's true because it's in God's word. No matter where I become aware of something that fits with reality, I need to have the courage to say, I get it. That's the truth of the matter, and I'm going to hold on to it no matter where I found it. Did you know, if we might put an asterisk, did you know A.T. Robertson was not a member of the church? There's a big book he wrote. What is it? Greek Grammar in the Light of Historical Research or something like that. It's an extremely valuable work. In fact, it's fascinating to see what he was like in some of his wording. He wasn't a member of the church. If you want to find out some incredible things about how words evolved in that ancient Greek language, he's a great source. It doesn't matter where the truth is. If it's the truth and I realize it's the truth, I can't dismiss the truth because I don't trust the messenger. You realize there have been men who knew specific ideas about the Bible. I mean, have you ever looked at the Hebrew language? I've seen chickens leave plainer tracks on the dirt than when I look at Hebrew. I don't know how to read that. They go the wrong direction. I can't make heads or tails of it. I have to literally get them next to each other. It takes me forever to figure out what letter that is. I hate trying to figure anything out. I love when someone's already done the work for me. Oh, I see now. I have to hold them up there and say, yeah, because I can't trust they got the right letters there, but I can't hardly tell the difference. I don't care where truth comes from, and neither should you. Neither should you. If there's an archaeologist that doesn't believe in the design of man, if he's digging over in Palestine, have you read the discoveries about the Philistines that they've been uncovering? I love it. I don't know who first said it. I read it one time, tried to find the source of it one time, and I couldn't find it, and I gave up. But it said, the Christian's best friend is the archaeologist's spade. You realize every time they dig over there, it just buttresses, because truth always fits with truth. And this is the truth from God. Everything we can check, it fits perfectly. We extrapolate from what we know for certain then to what we don't know, even into spiritual realms. And this book is trustworthy. But remember last night, we asked the question, well, I have good news and bad news. Which do you want first? And most people, by their reaction of faith, said they prefer the bad news first. So in all of these, we're doing the bad first, if we can just put that in big quotation marks. Our subject tonight, with those ideas in mind, is how our view of man, it determines so many things in our life. It has consequences and rewards, our view of man. Have you gone to school, either just reading online or actually been in some facility that teaches nowadays, and you've heard this word, evolution? It's everywhere. We got to go to the Grand Canyon. I'd been once when I was little, and we went there, and now I could read the signs that they know exactly how many hundreds of millions of years old some things are. I'm so glad they're that old. But anyway, we'll try not to make fun of ridiculous things to escape the knowledge of God in this study this evening, but some of them are just too easy. When people leave God, sometimes they get into the ridiculous. They do. Evolution is quite common. In fact, it's the most commonly taught thing. May we start with an asterisk, where usually that's halfway through a paragraph? Do you realize the word theistic and evolution can't really go together even? Theistic evolution, they're actually contradictory terms on some levels. There are people today who claim to be theistic evolutionists. They want God and they want evolution to be true. You know, you just can't be everybody's friend. You just can't. Are you a hot dog or a hamburger type of person? You're a hamburger type of person. If you like hot dogs better, you can repent. The truth is, no. You know that's an opinion. How man got here is not an opinion. There is a reality of truth. But when someone says, I refuse to have God in my knowledge, and if the Bible's true, then God created man, but I don't want it, I'm going to look around and I'm going to find something to explain how it got here. And they believe it happened, in quotation marks. It's the result of processes and accidents even, and mutations some people have. Can we try again the very simple forms of kids? To illustrate how foolish the idea is, did you ever make a mess of your room? I did. My brother George might say it was in a constant state of. His side of the room is. But I know where everything is. Don't mess up my mess. I know where everything is. It's all out where I can see it too. I never even have to open a drawer. It's a brilliant system. It's what they do in a library, by the way. They don't put books in drawers. That'd be silly. Leave them out where you can get. You know, none of that works with your mother. Nor does this work. Who made this mess? It just happened. Your mom she might think you're making fun towards her, and you might get nothing out and already be in trouble. Well, it just happened. It was an accident. She doesn't buy any of that, and she doesn't buy it for a second. She doesn't buy it for a second. How come what we're dealing with is an unbelievably complex mechanism called a human being, just in the physical sense? And people with straight faces can say this: it happened. Our own mom wouldn't buy it with a mess that's a millionth the complexity. Mom, it just happened. You're not getting away with it. In fact, you will probably hear something like, when your father gets home, we're going to talk about this, and it won't be a pleasant talk, because he might start with, lies are sin, because no one believed that mess happened. And by the way, you can't even blame it on either brother, because they're not that messy. At least if you were in our house. I don't know how that worked, but they were always messing up my stuff. You believe that? Why do we take something so simple, so that when we take it to things that actually matter, we realize how foolish it is? But people hold on to evolution. But may we pause for a moment and say this: I believe in evolution. Evolution has that base idea of to evolve, a change. Now, sometimes we put the DE on the front to have it mean go downhill, but who's to say what is something better and something worse in some areas? So kind of doesn't really make sense. We know the possibility exists, but I believe in evolution. You say, now don't throw me out yet. Do you think you're just physically like Abraham? You know, I have some genetic problems. Don't laugh. It doesn't sound like I'm going to make an excuse for some reason. I am. I'm messy because it's genetic. You know, my mom wouldn't bought that either, but no, hold on. Do we not know for sure there have been changes in genetics? Yeah, we do. We do. How many have created a super race? We have more and more problems that way. Now we know there are things that start to destroy the very basis of who we are physically by what can attack all of that strain, as we say, of DNA. Genetics. Whose fault are the changes? There are changes. You're still a human. Do you think you compare physically to Adam, you men? I'm pretty sure how genetics have moved. God created him and nothing had happened to him, yet you realize he doesn't even have a scar. Nothing has. What has mankind done since way back? I mean, there's hints of those words with Nimrod that he couldn't leave things alone this way. What has robbed the world of the flowering genetics? Every point in history we find wars. You realize for the history of the world, men have been fighting men. And you know who you send to battle? The healthy, the strong, the vibrant. And the flower of so many generations lay dead on a battlefield. Those genetics that might have been even better than the person who couldn't physically do what was necessary. Genetics have not gone uphill. They have gone downhill. Could you fast for 40 days and 40 nights? I've made it 4 or 5 hours before. I have struggled through it. And luckily, shrimp appeared. I was about to pass out at about the third hour this afternoon. And my dear sister brought shrimp out. You know, because I was Esau. I was almost, no birthright, but I was just ready to give anything to get some of that, because I was 40 days. You realize fasting for 40 days is not just about mental strength. Do you think you could physically survive it? I'm pretty sure I would be long dead. And have you ever read the sequence Moses went through with that mountain? You ever noticed how many times he's involved in this and how close they are together? It's eerie. Do we believe in evolution? Let us never deny anything that fits with the truth of reality. Are there, some people have coined the term and to try to separate them, and I wish they'd find better terms even, but some people say, well, that macro, the huge evolution, like I was a monkey at one time, we know that's not wrong, but do you believe in microevolution? Do you know, we know for certain now our lifestyle changes our epigenome. The little ones that are on the outside of the major strands, did you know your lifestyle changes those? I need to apologize to my kids. What if I spent so much time around toluene? You know, it has a nice smell. You know, it's a biological poison. It doesn't come out of the body very well. Do I need to apologize to my kid? What did I do to mine? I'm not really sure, but I can't do anything about it. You see, some facts I have no power over. So I need to leave them alone because I can't do anything about it. People's view of man will determine their behaviors and how the end of things turn out. Evolution is the central, most common thought about how man exists on the face of the earth today. Think with me what it means, though, if evolution is true. Now, either Jesus is who he said he is, or may we say it carefully just for the contrast without blasphemy, or he's one of the biggest liars that ever lived. You know, you can't have it both ways. Jesus either is, and we know he is. Those miracles prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. The prophecies from the Old Testament put the stamp of approval even from God Almighty on it. His miracles prove it. There are eyewitnesses and they write it down. And we know we can trust that. But you realize a number of other situations exist. If man evolved, do you realize part of this might be true? If man evolved, and it's not the actual complete picture of what happened, do you realize part of this might be true? I mean, we have to be so careful not to involve in blasphemy because we know the true reality. But let's take their point that man just evolved. God's word will not give you even time to have it happen. But if that's what really happened, what if there is a God and he really doesn't care? He just let us evolve to the point where now I contemplate, is there a supreme being? And I would not know which parts were true and which were false unless I could test them. I wouldn't be able to tell. But everything in the Bible is true. And God combined those spiritual thoughts with spiritual words so that when there's areas I don't understand, but God makes plain statements about, I know everything I can check that is plain, that is physical, is perfect. And he tells me about himself. And we look at the creation. And what did Paul say in Romans 1? There are some things clearly seen in the creation of the world, even his everlasting power and divinity. Ooh, and then there's that eerie phrase, that they may be without excuse. I'm one of those people and so are you. God designed it so I can even look at the creation and have no excuse. Well, I didn't know about God. God said, and isn't that phrase a little scary? Clearly seen? You ever been up camping or hunting and you lay down on your back at night and you just look up at the stars where there's no city lights and that curved canopy of stars? It's one of my favorite things in all the world to do. where there's no lights and you can see lots of the sky, and you tell yourself, I am not even going to fall asleep till I see a shooting star. And you fall asleep. You've been waiting. You look up there. You know, I'm not sure how many hundreds of times I did that, and I really wasn't that impressed. Honest, we're just all, you seen one? You seen one? All we're doing is looking for a shooting star. And God said, I gave you a mind that is of such a nature that when you look at what I've made, something should be clearly seen means obvious, does it not? It should be obvious, my everlasting power and divinity, just when you look at creation to such a degree, we're without excuse by it. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? If that makes us without excuse because it's clearly seen, God says, in essence, you knew enough to start looking. I'm terrified if I had not been exposed to the truth of the gospel that I would never have found it myself. Our view of what man is matters. It will determine how we even pursue evangelism then. But think with me about more about on the bad side, if we say it about, if you don't believe God's truth about man, what else do you fall into? And we hinted at this under the ideas of genetics. Think about this. If we evolved, why are you still alive? Why are you perfectly healthy? You add so much to society. You know, in my chest, there's a heart that beats honest. And there are lungs. By definition, they don't work very well. And they're allergic to all kinds. They stink. They're terrible lungs. And that's why I abuse them for so long, because I don't have any better sense, you know. If you know you have bad lungs, why would you breathe dust for years? Wouldn't that be... Would that not be a form of delusion? There is a reality. And if you've been given specific information to have you believe the reality, but you insist on holding your belief it will be fine in the face of evidence to the contrary about reality, wouldn't I have to admit there were times I was delusional about it? Well, my lungs are different. They won't be influenced. Yes, they will. It was delusional. Now, we make fun physically because think of all the things also that might happen in our life. And so we ask the question, if evolution is true and it's survival of the fittest, and we have a rundown of genetics anyway and we need all the help we can get, should you actually leave me alive? Are you really, really bothered? I mean, deep down inside, by Hitler causing the death, killing those people that were mentally incapable, and a whole list of other people that he didn't think they physically and mentally added enough to society. There's a race that we need to start developing. If evolution is true, tell me why I should be alive. Tell me why you should be alive. If we just evolved... Do you know anybody that wants a skinny cow? Not if you eat meat. You want a cow that's huge. Hardly takes any feed to make a huge steer to butcher. Do you know anybody that wants a skinny cow? You see, that's a silly example. No, actually, it's unbelievably pointed to the fact. Think about why no one wants a skinny cow. Because it serves no purpose for anything we use a cow for. So nobody wants a skinny cow. Biologically, I'm kind of like a skinny cow. How are you? It's the only way I could call myself skinny and get away with it. Did you notice that? But you know what we're getting at. If we have a view of mankind that it's just a happening of evolution, then we need to care for this human race more. And we need to start realizing there's no spiritual component. And it's about what works physically. And some of us just aren't great physical specimens. And we need to start helping out our fellow man. Oh, that... That's terrible to say even, but it's a natural extension of someone's belief of man. He isn't created by God. That's enough of the depressing side of the bad view. Can we turn to the beautiful rewards if we have the proper view of men, of mankind? What is man? Well, we go back to the very beginning, to Genesis, and God starts unfolding before our eyes what he did. He created the heavens and the earth, and finally he takes the dust of the ground and he fashions man from it, and he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. We know from the very mouth of the Creator that being that exists there is made in his image. But think about it. Remember when Jesus was resurrected and he said this? A spirit hath not flesh and bones, or one of the other accounts, flesh and blood, as you behold me having. God is a spirit, from John. And a spirit doesn't have, we would say, the physical body. Yet here's Adam standing in the garden, and God says, in essence, you are made in my image. And it cannot be the physical, because God is not physical. That means the parts of man that are not physical, we're made in God's image. Now, not his power. Can you speak anything into existence other than a black eye? Can you not speak a black eye into existence? Just go up to some couple and insult his wife. Right? You're liable in the world to get clocked. And you had it coming because you should know better than that. But you see, we're made in God's image. That's the reality that God tells us. The fact of the matter is we're made in the image of God. Our belief that we're made in the image of God, and the more we drag our mind away from, it's not physical. God is not physical. He is spiritual. When we ask ourselves this, in what ways am I made in the image of God spiritually and mentally? Wow. You realize I can't even be lazy anymore. I can't even be lazy anymore. If I am made in the image of God, and it's not the physical, and God is a being everywhere we see him, aware, thinking, dealing, helping, chastening whom he loves, even God with, we would say it because we use physical terms, a heart of compassion. That's our Creator, and we're made in his image. What if I can't even be lazy then? God isn't. I so like doing nothing. I told some of them earlier, I'm old enough to not be ashamed of this. I took a nap today. I did. I lay down on the bed and totally shirked all responsibility. I just lay down on the bed and I went to sleep. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And you see, you try to rationalize it. Well, Jacob laid down. I didn't have a stone for my head, but, and I didn't wrestle with anybody once night came on. But I'm made in the image of God. And God is a being of awareness and caring and driven by love and holiness. And I, if I'm going to be like God, I'm going to need to stay away from things that corrupt my mind. Anything that is unholy, I have to try to get away from it. I got to get it away from my mind. As we mentioned last night, you know, there are pictures that we see that you can just never erase from your mind. And if they present an idea of temptation, it's still there. And you can't just erase it. We don't have erasers for the mind very well. Now, can you do it by way of delusion? Well, that's not a good way to handle things. We need to be aware. Our belief about we are made in the image of God, and the primary focus of our creation in God's likeness is the spiritual and mental, and maybe even emotional to some degree, you realize that takes the form of behaviors then. So I see someone, we're going through a day, and we see someone in need. You know what we can do? we can be lazy and we could do like in the parable of the Good Samaritan, as we call it, like the priest and Levite, we can go by on the other side and just ignore it. We can. Oh, but God even developed the world so that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And God's not willing that any should perish. That tells us something about what his mind, heart, if we say it that way, is like. And so we see someone in need that we have the... So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. You know, that all is huge, is it not? For something that is so applicable today in this lesson, may we mention two groups that would include? If you see a person and they're in need and you have the opportunity and the means to help them, and they're an evolutionist, it's your neighbor and he believes he happened. He doesn't believe in God. He makes fun of you for going to church and believing that old myth book, the Bible, if we say it in quotation marks. And he's fallen down and he's hurt. And so then, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men. He's a man. He needs help. I'm right here. I can help him. You know what, God, if it's his crops and he's unjust, God would let the rain fall on his field. You know as well as I do, we'd go over and help them. We couldn't just let him lay there. We're going to go help him. What he believes has not changed the fact that he also is created in the image of God. I look past the physical. At least we should. Does sometimes it get in the way? Because the second group is this. The man lies there and he's not seriously injured. Okay, so... You know, it's easier to rationalize he really doesn't need help. And he's wearing an interesting wrap on his head. And by the things that he has by him in his clothing, we perceive that he's a follower of Muhammad. You know, the only question to ask was that being created in the image of God? Yeah. Do I have the opportunity to help him? Yes. Then I better. Because God's not willing that any should perish. Jesus hangs on the cross. Part of it's just for that man. And I certainly don't want to get in the way. We would never get in the way of the Lord giving that man a chance to learn the truth and obey it. Well, we might be just who God happened by, because providence is happening in quotation marks, because God's orchestration is behind it. God might have designed it so I'm the one he meets. What if God allowed it to happen that the man's lazy and he never cleans his walk there, and there's moss on it, and the moss is slippery because it got wet, and now he slipped it. You know why he slipped? It's his own fault. He never cleaned the moss off of those steps, and now, no, it does. He's laying injured on the ground. There's an opportunity, and God says, you need to be like me. They need help. We're going to help you. We realize when we look in the Old Testament, there's just, now that's a totally different thing. Now it's just an animal that was carrying something and it fell under a load. It's just an animal. Now, after the ark, we have some principles from God, and that's why nobody wants the skinny cow, because every living thing that shall be food for you. I love living on this side of the flood. You know that animal? I could eat it. God said I could eat it, but it doesn't belong to me. Doesn't matter. Evolution is true, and you just happened, and you happened to be stronger than him. No. That animal is not a man. Doesn't have the soul like man. Not made in the image of God. But God said, maybe to teach us the lesson of how we're supposed to be. Because remember, God knows the sparrows just as much as he knows the hairs of our head. And God said, there lies that animal under that burden. It's fallen under the weight of the burden. And it's not even your beast of burden. It's not your truck that broke down. It's his. And God said, you get over there and lift that animal up. It's not even my donkey. It's not my goods. God said, the animal's fallen under the load. You go get that animal up. Are we of not much more valuable than they? You remember the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is using little animals that God cares and provides for them. We are made in His image. It ought to be so natural for us because we know the truth, reality. We're made in His image. And we see our neighbor lying there, no matter who it is, there's an opportunity to do it. And we know there's a number of other filters we have to go through so we don't, as we say today, enable and things like that. If a man refuses to work, will not work, neither let him eat. I mean, we know there are other filters we run through, but you know 90% of the time you need to go help him. I don't want to. It's raining. That's how the moss got wet. You know how easy it is to rationalize? You know, I should have got plastic, but I got paper. And if I stay out in the rain, my paper will get soft and my groceries will spill, so I can't help you right now because it's raining and I got paper. Would you say, Dan, you're an idiot? In fact, wouldn't you say, Dan, you're being delusional if that's how you're rationalizing, not helping the guy? Your groceries aren't very important to a being made in the image of the very God who created this entire universe. All of a sudden, what I believe has come out in behavior. I'm tired. It's at the end of a day. I just want to go in and put the stuff in the refrigerator and sit down and do nothing. And why did he have to fall now? Maybe God allowed it to happen just so I had to deal with it and had to come to grips. Are you going to help someone made in my image or walk right by? Our beliefs about who men are going to take shape in how we behave. Now, in 2 minutes, we want to use this last example about the ramifications of blessings. When we know we're made in the image of God, our belief about it ends up doing something. And we have to condense it, and let's do it this way. God finished the creation, and what two words did he use? It was very good. Now, we use the word lazy at least 5 times that I counted. Do you realize what God wants is for us to be very good? He created us that way. We're made in His image. And He doesn't want mediocrity. God wants excellence. When we have the reality view of what God has created and what man is, we're made in the image of God. Not to angels doth he give help, but give us help to the seed of Abraham. That's us. God cares. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Man, even if that's applied to the Lord, the generic sense applies to mankind. God cares so much about us. God wants excellence. Mediocrity does not fit with our design. God finished and said it was very good. If we have the proper view of man, that we're made in the image of God, we would have to stand up and demand excellence of ourselves. There's no place for me to be selfish. There isn't. Well, you know what I want? Can you imagine if God spoke from heaven? You know, some said it thunders when he said at that time, I have glorified, will glorify it again. Can you imagine if every time we were selfish, God thundered from heaven? I didn't ask what you want. Because isn't that sometimes what he'd have to say? What do you want? What do you want? Maybe we need to realize we're made in the image of God. He has a plan for us. And God finished with man, said, he's very good. I'm afraid sometimes we take it down to, man is pretty good most of the time. I'm really good some of the time. And do you want a car like that? You know, it runs most of the time. Isn't that good enough for you? No, I want it to run all the time. I want a car that's very reliable. God wants excellence. We're designed to be that way. We were designed that way. And only by reason of the God of this world and his temptation has he been able to take things and pull it out of there. But we have the right picture. We're made in the image of God. It is our belief. It fits perfectly with the reality. We check in every single way we can. And it demands excellence of us. We can be good. We can be holy. We can do good things, cause glory to be given to God, but I have to want to do it. But my very design, it's built in me. Did you know? I care what you think. You know how you know? Because I'm going to stop in a minute. We tend to care. Do you realize if something's on someone's face, we're so afraid of making them feel bad, sometimes we don't even want to tell them. We will leave them in looking silly with something hanging out of their lip. You realize they do studies, and if you take psychology, it's a great experiment. Hang something off your lip and just sit on a park bench and see if anyone will come up and say, you know, I don't know, this is really strange, but you got something on your lip. And people will walk by and go, oh, I feel so bad for them, but I'm not going to help them. I got something on my lip. Please tell me. Don't leave me with it. We're not talking about Lent. We're talking about sin that causes the damnation of souls. And God created us to be excellent and holy. Because that's our design. When we believe the truth about the design of man, it causes us to want to be excellent for God. Don't you want to make God proud? Yeah. I want God to say, yeah, that's my child. You can tell by how holy their life is, how they're always doing good for other people. In them, you see a reflection of me. And if God said that, would you not feel good this evening? If he said, yeah, have you considered my servant and you put your name in there like God did Job's? There is none like him in all the earth. Oh, if he said that about us, sometimes we'd want to hide. There's nobody like him. Oh, that wouldn't be a compliment. No, it can be a good thing. God made us, and we are made very good. Let's strive for excellence. But we're out of time for this evening. Your beliefs and mine determine how we behave. And there are consequences and reward to our view of what man is and how God made him. We have no right to excuse ourselves for anything. God gave us the tools to be holy and righteous and good. And we're going to sing a song now. If we look at our life and we need help in that way, and there's any spiritual way we can help you, come as we stand and sing.